From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last night on the streets of downtown Rochester, where things were quieter than they have been since September 2nd. That was the day that Free the People Rock joined Daniel Prude's family in revealing his story, complete with the police body camera video. Since then, protesters have marched, sang, chanted, and painted the pavement with slogans and demands. For the past week, they've organized outside City Hall, including repeated calls for the resignation of Mayor Lovely Warren. But last night, the movement took time to rest and plan next steps. The organizers wrote, quote, "We recognize that taking care of our collective health and well-being is a revolutionary act. Systems of oppression want to see us tired and beaten down, but we won't give them that satisfaction. We urge those of you who have been out with us every night to rest, reflect, and recharge for the next set of actions. Our movement is just beginning," end quote. Free the People Rock has held firm with its list of demands, arguing for the arrest and prosecution of the officers who first encountered Daniel Prude on March 23rd. They called for the resignation of both the police chief and the mayor, and they want a significant rerouting of city tax dollars, largely away from police funding and in the direction of mental health and other community support services. This hour, it's a chance to talk to one of the lead organizers of Free the People Rock. You've seen Ashley Gant at the head of the protests. She's been on the street with Pastor Myra Brown. She's spoken to police officers who were tasked with clearing space for City Hall employees to get to work. Gant has been praised by everyone from Pastor Brown to former Mayor Bill Johnson. But she's also been challenged by Mayor Johnson to come to a negotiating table and work with city leaders to achieve change. My guest for the hour is Ashley Gant. Ashley, welcome back to Connections.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Evan.
So, there's a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to get to some of the mayor's comments and some of where you might disagree with people like Reverend Stewart coming up here. But why don't you just kind of let the audience know where things stand with the protest movement, with this moment to sort of pause to rest and to plan next steps. Where do things stand now with Free the People Rock?
Thank you, Evan. So first, I'd like to say, like, shout out to all of the folks that have been in the streets. A lot of people name Free the People Rock, but this is like really a community effort. We could not do this without the support of the community as a whole. So like, yeah, our name is at the forefront of it, but it's definitely a community effort. As far as, you know, where we stand, what's next, as you guys know, we've been occupying City Hall for the last week. We decided to call into that Occupy 2 days ago, one, because people have been out there day in and day out, putting their lives and their bodies on the line. And we wanted people to get rest. For the last like 16 days, we've been doing actions. So last night was the first night that we didn't do an action. And it's because like we realized that resting and self-care is also a form of resistance. And we wanted to give people the opportunity to do that, to just take a break for a night, rejuvenate, you know, get some rest, spend time with their families before we're back out there. Tonight we're having another action. As you guys know, the event that happened on Pennsylvania Avenue in Goodman this past weekend, 16 people were shot, 2 of them died. And just like tonight, we want to take some time to hold space for just Black folks in the community to just come together. We'll have therapists, we'll have counselors, we'll have a yoga instructor, we'll have like psychiatrists, everyone in the mental health field. We've asked them to come to our event tonight to just hold space, give people the opportunity to talk about the trauma that they've experienced both and what happened on Pennsylvania Avenue, as well as like the trauma that folks have been experiencing just by protesting and their encounter with the police. So tonight we're going to have like a healing space, and then we'll pick up with things tomorrow and start our actions back up.
So what time tonight?
So it's going to be 6 o'clock tonight. But I will tell you the event tonight is an all Black space. For the Black community to really talk about and dialogue about the things that's been happening with intercommunal violence, as well as like the trauma that folks have been experiencing at the protests.
As you look ahead now with Free the People Rock's response to the death of Daniel Prude and the demands that you've had, has anything changed on your list? Let's talk about what those demands are, what they have been, and whether anything's changed, Ashley.
Number one, we've been calling for the resignation of both LaRon Singletary as well as Lovely Warren. We've also added Sandra Doiley, Mike Naville, all of those folks in there. We've called for, and this has been our demand since we started protesting 16 weeks ago, but we have a demand, free them all. We have 30 plus people that have been arrested since our protest started 16 weeks ago in solidarity with what happened to George Floyd. And we're asking that all of those charges against all of those protesters be dropped. We, of course, one of our broader demands was like cancel the rent. And that was like, you know, we know that because of COVID, people have really been in some trying times. And we know that Black men are locked up at alarming rates and Black women are locked out at alarming rates. So we wanted a moratorium on the rent to hold. We know that once that moratorium is up, people are going to be evicted like crazy. Let's see. We had tons of other demands.
Tell me about defunding.
So, of course, defunding the police, right? So we say defunding the police, and to a larger audience, that sounds like a scary, unimaginable thing. But what we're saying is right now, altogether, the police is getting $148 million a year. That's including money towards pensions. And what we're saying is we know that 86% of crimes that is committed in the city of Rochester are poverty-based crimes, right? So it's people stealing from Wegmans, Walmart, et cetera, right? And we're saying instead of punishing people because of poverty, instead let's reallocate some of those funds. Let's take some of those funds from the police and actually put it toward ending poverty. We've seen what happened with Daniel Prude. We're also asking that like we reallocate some of those funds and we put it toward mental health services. We put it toward housing, education. We know that our children, inner city kids that are at RCSD, they don't even have access to a basic education. The school district is taking a 20% cut right now, and they'll be taking 20% for the next 5 years. Our kids aren't even allowed access to a basic education. So we're saying, like, you know, housing, healthcare, education, mental health, there's like so many things that some of that money can be put toward. So when we say defund the police, we're saying let's reallocate some of those funds.
All right. Has anything on that list changed or been amended at all?
So in the beginning, we were calling for Jess LaRon and Lovely Warren's resignation. We've added Mike Mazzeo. We've added Sandra Doiley to that list. We've also added an investigation. So we want the DOJ to investigate how the police have been treating protesters. We sat down with Tish James on Sunday morning, and she committed to having that done. So things like that has changed. But we plan to be in the streets until we get everything on that demand list. I know one of the big things that we're asking for, too, is that the police officers who murdered Daniel Prude not just be suspended, but be fired, prosecuted, and convicted.
Now, let's talk a little bit about city leadership and the calls for the mayor's resignation. What has your relationship with the mayor, and I say your, actually, I mean certainly yourself, but also some of the other organizers and lead organizers for this movement, because certainly this didn't start on September 2nd, but some of the urgency and some of the direct response to the Prude case obviously surfaced then. What has your relationship with this mayor been like in recent months, even the last couple of years?
I can't say it's really been a relationship. You know, I did a lot of electoral work. So, of course, a lot of my time was spent at the Monroe Democratic Committee. And, like, I've seen her. It has never been, like, a bad relationship. We have never, like, there's never been any animosity or anything like that. What I will say is that we did sit down with the mayor, like, almost 2 or 3 weeks ago. So she's been willing to sit down. But we're looking for more than just sitting down. We need accountability. It hasn't been bad before now. So I want to say, like, it's not personal, you know, like we're calling for the mayor's resignation, but it's not personal. And if it was anybody else in this seat, we would be calling for the same thing.
Someone said to me a few days after the release of the tape on September 2nd, if this was a white Republican mayor, then it would be an instantaneous call among just about everyone. And yet there was some surprise that your movement has latched on to this demand for the mayor to resign. Is that why you say it's not personal? It's not between you or any one person and the mayor. It's the actions and the quality of the leadership and frankly, whether it was an appropriate response to this?
Yeah, so it's not personal. And, we would do the same thing if it was any other type of leadership. You know, we believe wholeheartedly that the mayor knew about Daniel Prude, right, way before August 1st. In our minds, we can't conceptualize how the mayor sat down with Chief LaRon Singletary 53 times between the time Daniel Prude was murdered and the time that he resigned, and she didn't know about this. We just do not believe that at all. We know that the city has released paperwork and their investigation, but we believe just like the police can't investigate themselves, the city can't investigate themselves at all. So we're really looking forward to the independent investigation that Tish James is going to bring about.
Well, and I will say, you know, I mean, obviously I haven't had a chance to talk to the mayor. She doesn't come on this program, but she last week when she released along with the deputy mayor their documentation of the recent months leading up to September 2nd, and she suspended a number of people. She blamed them for keeping her out of the loop. She then committed to transparency and accountability and then did not take any questions from the media. Then the next day, she did an interview with Channel 10, with just one interview, one person. Then the next day, one interview with one person. She sat down with Adam Chodak from Channel 8. As far as I know, that's what she's done. She hasn't, frankly, if this were me, actually, and everyone had the story wrong about what I knew and what I was trying to do about this, I would sit down with anybody who wanted to, as long as it took, until everyone left, and I had answered every question. That's just me. But one thing she did say to Adam Chodak last Wednesday was that, in response to your point, Ashley, about, you know, you don't believe that she could have been met, could have met with the chief 50 times and never discussed this. She claims that someone told her that she allegedly had a conversation on an elevator with Laron Singletary about this. It was a very strange quote to my ear because it wasn't a denial that she talked about it. It was, it wasn't a confirmation either. I don't really know what it was. I'd like to ask, or someone like, I would like someone to ask the mayor about that. But does that clear anything up to you? I mean, is it possible that she would have only heard in passing and she just decided as the mayor not to pursue learning more about this? I mean, she knew there was a death in custody. Is it plausible to you that she would have just said, oh, okay, I don't need to see the tape, I'm good?
So for me, that's not plausible, especially the climate that we live in. I know if the police, if a man is murdered in police custody, or even if he just died in the police custody, a black man in the time and the climate that we live in, I feel like it's our leader's responsibility to get to the bottom line of how this happened and why. So again, for us, you know, that's not a plausible excuse. If that was just a, you know, 2-minute elevator conversation or 1-minute elevator conversation, I would say shame on her and Laron, because Daniel Prude, as well as his family, deserves more than that.
Yeah.
This man moved to Rochester the morning that he died.
I guess what I'm asking is, even if the mayor's version of events, and I say this with respect to the mayor, the current version of events from the mayor, because her versions have changed. But even if the mayor's current version of events and her timeline is entirely accurate, would you look at her actions and then say, okay, well, that's incompetent. You know, that's not good enough either, even if you somehow didn't know, because you need to know. You have to run a city in what you know. You can't run a city in which you're totally out of touch with your own police department. Is that how you would feel, even if her story was true?
So I actually said this to the mayor myself, right? So let's just say it is true. Let's say that her legal counsel knew and her legal counsel didn't advise her or didn't tell her, which I don't believe, but let's just say it is true, then we have a bigger problem. And legal counsel should not be suspended. They should be absolutely fired.
Yeah, I think that's how most people would respond. I think you're right. I mean, if truly you had been that badly misled by your own counsel and your own staff, I don't think suspensions would be the order of the day. Right. But that's just me. I mean, I cannot speak for this mayor, and I kind of want to move past this subject. But the reason I'm bringing this up is this: there have been debate even among some people who have shown up to protest with whether you can still work with this mayor. So the mayor doesn't seem intent on resigning at all. She's heard your demands. She's seen the street art. She's seen all that stuff. If she's not going to resign, it looks like she's not. Can you negotiate with her?
So I don't think that's up to I don't think that's up for like me to decide whether or not I can negotiate with her, right? Hmm. It's up to the community. Like, the work that we do is on behalf of the community and the Prude family. So I would say if she's not going to resign, which I don't think she is, I just know how resilient we can be. If she's not going to resign, I don't think that it's up to me to say, like, can I work with her? We have to do the work on the community, and that means by any means necessary, including if she doesn't resign.
All right. Talking to Ashley Gant, one of the leaders and founders of Free the People Rock, the movement that has been making these calls for significant change following the release of the video showing the hours leading up to the death of Daniel Prude on March 23rd. Listeners, if you've got questions or comments, we'll take them this hour, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Ashley, some critics of the calls for the resignation of police officers point out that you and many of your colleagues understandably have said for years that black men, black people often don't get due process in the American justice system. And so they ask, how can you call for the arrest and prosecution of these officers without giving them a chance to defend their own actions and a fair hearing of the evidence?
So, I mean, easy. Like we see that every day with people getting arrested for crimes that they didn't commit. And we can see that easily in the comments on, you know, just the news comments by trolls and how people are held to a higher level of accountability, even without a title of public servant. So for us, it's easy because a public servant is here to serve and protect, period. And if somebody dies because an officer who is a public servant puts a spit bag over someone's head and does a diamond push-up for 2 minutes, for us, we've seen the video and there's no question. They need to be fired, period. And we're not asking that they just go to jail right now. We're asking for them to be prosecuted. So we want them to go through the process. And in the meantime, we don't feel like they should get paid six figures and be on a vacation until they're convicted when Daniel Prude is dead.
Talking to Ashley Gant from Free the People Rock. A lot of phone calls to wade through and emails. Let's start to do that. In fact, let me read an email first from Kevin listening from Orchard Park. He says, Evan, I sense that the stance taken by organizations like Free the People Rock can easily be cast as radical in its calls for the removal or resignation of ever-expanding numbers of people in local government and institutions. The danger of descent into anarchy is real among many people. How would your guest respond to that? And what or whom does she expect to put in their place? How does she see her organization and its commitments in light of the upcoming election as well? But let's set aside that last question from Kevin. We can get there if you want, but I want you to address what he's saying. He said he's worried with the expanding calls for removal of police, resignation of leaders, that there could be a descent into anarchy. And what do you replace all of that with, Ashley?
So if I'm understanding the question correctly, is he asking, like, when we say abolish the police, or
Let me try to interpret. I think what he's saying is you are calling for a number of things. You want the mayor gone. You want the DA gone. You want the police chief gone. And you want a significant rerouting of funding that would take armed officers off the streets. That's a big void in the criminal justice system. So what's it going to fill its place? He's concerned about a descent into anarchy.
So a few things. So we'll start with the resignation of the DA and the mayor, right? So we want both of them to resign. Right now, actually, we want the deputy mayor to resign as well. And if that happened, let's just say the mayor and the deputy mayor resigned, then it would be up to city council to put someone in their place until the election, which is next year. We believe that there are people in our community, people of integrity, people of who have a moral compass, who will represent the community at large to fill those seats. So, like, we're not worried that nobody will fill those seats or that worse people will fill those seats. I can name 10 people off the top of my head who will be great in those seats. As far as the district attorney, Sandra Doerly, for me, Sandra Doerly is one of the most dangerous people in this region when it comes to black and brown bodies, right? So we know that people are going to prison for stealing Lunchables, for stealing sardines. And for us, we're saying that's criminalizing poverty, which Sandra Doerly does every day and proudly. And we can see that just with her Twitter. We can see, like, she didn't come out and say anything about Daniel Prude at all whatsoever until we called for the resignation of Mike Mazzeo and the police chief. So for us, we believe that there's capable people. Shawnee Curry Smith ran against her last election. She didn't win, but Shawnee Curry Smith would be amazing for that. For that job. As far as the police resigning and what that looks like, so we are nowhere near abolishing the police. We are nowhere near getting armed police officers off of the streets. But what we do know is that our neighborhoods are over-policed at a much higher rate than any of these suburban neighborhoods. And if we defunded the police and reallocated resources, in the words of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our city would look like the suburbs. And what we're saying is that people in the city are not more dangerous. People in the city are not worse people. Concentrated poverty is something that's done by design and on purpose. And when you put concentrated poverty in any place, you're going to have crime. And what we're saying, instead of criminalizing people for poverty, let's get to the root of poverty and reallocate some of those funds. We also believe that our community knows what's best for us. We believe that we can say what we can reimagine what public safety looks like. We don't have to use a system that was historically used to oppress us and then give them $148 million to fix the oppression that was done on design and by purpose that they're not fixing. They literally solve 26% of all crimes, which is ridiculous because, like Danielle Ponder said, I can't get a 26 on my test and pass. I can't do 26% of my job and pass or and keep a job. So we're rewarding them essentially for nothing.
Talking to Ashley Gantt from Feed the People Rock, and we're going to spend the second half hour on all of your phone calls. So if you're on the phone, please hang there. I'm going to get through all of these calls because there's a wide range of thoughts and questions for Ashley, and we're grateful for her time this hour. But before we do that, I know she heard former Mayor Bill Johnson, who is the co-chair of the Raise Commission, appointed by the leadership of Monroe County and the city of Rochester, tasked with responding in a way that reflects needed change following the death of and the killing of George Floyd this year. Mayor Johnson on this program said that the Raise Commission was convened 6 days after the mayor claimed she saw the video of Daniel Prude. They were never told about it, and he was very upset about that. But he said now's the time to take this moment and to negotiate, to come to the table and to talk about what happens next. And this is what Mayor Johnson said on this program about the idea that Free the People Rock has a list of demands and they will protest until every demand is met. This is what the mayor said.
Well, that's not negotiations, with all due respect. And let me say I have tremendous admiration and respect for what these young people are doing across the country. They have sensitized people. They have challenged people's thinking. They have stood their ground. They put their lives on the line. They have issued a list of demands. Those are negotiable. And I don't care whether they believe it or not, they have to be negotiable. And so what I would say, and the only thing I would modify from my statement yesterday, because I know that they've got hundreds and hundreds of people that go out there every night. Yeah, let them continue to demonstrate. But let the leaders of their movements agree to come and sit down and just look at those lists. Because, listen, negotiation is I trade, you trade. You tell me what is non-negotiable for you. I tell you what's non-negotiable for me, okay? And I have done this work. I've done this work for over 30 years. I've trained as a mediator, okay? I've been in tough situations. All I'm saying is, yes, you have made your point. It is crystal clear. But you cannot come up with a list of demands and fling them on the table and say, take it or leave it. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And I believe that while these young people may have no trust in institutions, I think that we as adult and senior leaders need to create the environment that brings them close into trust. They may be surprised of what they can get out of such a process.
That's former Mayor Bill Johnson. What do you say to that, Ashley Gantt?
So a lot of things, right? So Mayor Bill Johnson said that, you know, we can't put our list of demands on the table and say take it or leave it, or, you know, we can't come to the table and not negotiate. I agree that we can't come to the table and refuse to negotiate, but what we're not going to do is negotiate our way out of justice, right? Because we see time and time and time again, we see it with Sean Bell, we see it with George Floyd, we see it with Breonna Taylor, right? Where these families get no justice. And because our elected officials are not standing behind us, because our elected officials are not standing up and doing the right thing in spite of it being difficult, it is the job of the community. It is the job of us to say, this is our stance and we are not moving. And let me tell you, Bill Johnson is talking about we can't say take it or leave it, but Bill Johnson brought Project Exile here, which ruined the lives of Black and brown families in our community. And we've tried to talk to him about bringing that. Project Exile so disproportionately impacts brown and Black communities, and it's so ridiculous that the state who came up with it, which is Virginia, done away with it. States have done away with Project Exile, but not Monroe County. And Bill Johnson brought it here. And what he essentially said is take it or leave it regardless of the lives that it affects, regardless of the homes that it tear apart. So while we're talking about negotiations, we are not going to negotiate on the backs of brown and black people and poor people, which has been done time and time again. So, yeah, we have our list of demands, and we're always willing to come to the table. We sat down with the mayor almost 2-3 weeks ago for 3 hours. But what we're not going to do is negotiate on the backs of poor brown and black people, which has been done time and time and time again.
And you'll be back. The plan is to be back in the streets when then?
So we have an event tonight, but everyone tomorrow.
Okay. So you reconvene with nightly demonstrations tomorrow is the plan.
Yeah.
Talking to Ashley Gant, who is one of the organizers of Free the People Rock. After our only break of the hour, your phone calls and comments for her next. Coming up in our second hour, we talked to former Rochesterians now living in California who had to live through that bizarre orange sky, the dark orange, the heavy smoke that hung in the air and really attached itself to everything before eventually drifting east and turning sunny days hazy in Rochester. This is climate change in 2020. You're going to hear the voices of people who have lived through that next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. My guest is Ashley Gant from Free the People Rock. Teddy in Rochester first on the phone. Go ahead, Teddy.
Hi, Evan. So it seems as though the idea is get rid of the people who should be taking responsibility, and I kind of completely agree. The issue is who replaces them? The Democratic Party locally hasn't been dislodged from its position of power for decades. So why should this, you know, well-secure, gerrymandered force of political initiatives and agents care who has an opinion about who they put in power? And even if they do, and it's quite possible that Mayor Lovely Warren has lost the credibility for her to act as their agent, shouldn't they just, you know, put somebody else that they can control in power? I don't know. I don't know if you've noticed this, but she has a way of deflecting anything, obfuscating anything. And that seems kind of typical of the leadership of Rochester. So, okay, we get rid of them, but who takes their place?
Okay, Teddy, thank you. Ashley Gant, what do you say to that?
I think it's up to the community. We believe that the community is capable of electing people that they trust and that they believe in. Now, I heard him say, like, you know, put somebody else in there who we can control. This isn't about who we can control. This is about who stands up for the people that they represent, period.
Okay. It sounds like Teddy thinks that the mayor has a way, though, of pulling the levers.
You know, I'm not going to. So when it comes to pulling levers, I will say this. It's not just the mayor, right? So I don't know what levers she pulled, but from the work that I've done in politics, from me being on the scene with elections and being at the board, MCDC, it's not just the mayor. Our congressman, Joe Morelli, also pulls levers. Adam Bello also pulls levers. So, like, while we are calling for the mayor's resignation, when it comes to this party, I'm not going to be a part of, like, putting the blame on her as if she pulls all the levers, because I've seen up close and personal, and it's not just her.
Another listener, let's see here. Who asked that question? Oh, my, there's so many. Lisa Beth wants to know, can the mayor be recalled? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. I don't think she can be recalled. But if she can, I don't know anything about it, but if you know, send us an email.
I will investigate separately. I don't know if that is a serious option. Matt, in Canandaigua next. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, so just a couple things, and I respect everything what you're doing and saying, Ashley. I just, so some of your facts, I mean, and I'm just telling you this for your own credibility, like no police officer, regular police officers making 6 figures in Rochester. Second, we got to stop saying defund the police, because you're going to lose the support of people in, like, the suburbs. If anything, you should be saying we need to retrain the police. We possibly might need more funding for the police so they can have the skills of a social worker or what have you. The groups that don't want to compromise, it's almost like the Bernie group this past election. It's like unwilling to compromise on anything. Well, then you're not going to get anything, essentially. And, in Minnesota, that family did get justice. And Breonna Taylor's family, I believe, just won money in a civil suit. So, I mean, some justice has been served. Yeah, that's all I got to say, Ashley. And thank you for what you're doing.
All right, Matt, thank you. Ashley, go ahead.
So first, thank you for your comment, Matt. So first, I'm not going to ever stop saying defund the police, because that's what I mean. Absolutely defund the police. Secondly, we cannot retrain racism. We cannot retrain racism and implicit bias out of police officers who don't live in our community, who haven't grown up in our community and don't work in our community. And then third, you said we're losing suburban people. Like, we're gonna lose people who are not who don't understand and are not trying to understand and already have their point of view. So, I mean, with all due respect to your comment, I'm not going to ever say stop saying defund the police, and I'm definitely not going to stop saying it so that we can win suburban people. I'm sorry, but not sorry. Defund the police.
I don't know what every officer makes. He's saying that officers aren't making six figures.
Oh, so that's another thing. So officers definitely are making six figures. As a matter of fact, we have a spreadsheet of what every officer makes, and I can email that spreadsheet to you, Evan, and then you can give it to your
okay.
audience.
Does that include overtime figures?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If it includes,
okay.
If it includes overtime.
Right,
but
right.
We do have every officer's salary on a spreadsheet, every single one.
Okay. I mean, Matt, I appreciate the call. I haven't seen it myself. Mary in Rochester is next with Ashley Gant. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. Yeah, I'd just like to tell Ashley I really appreciate everything that you and the organizers are doing. And I totally agree with everything you said about Matt and about Mayor Johnson. You know, I'm an old white woman, and I lived through the riots. I lived through school desegregation. I went to a public school. I don't know what it's going to take to make things better for the black citizens in my community. But I do know that for five decades, anything that's been tried hasn't worked. If it had worked, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in, and we wouldn't continue to have the deaths that we have. So I think that whatever needs to be done is, you know, to support these organizers who are finally getting some traction and who probably have made more progress since May than we have seen in the last five decades, then I'm going to support them, and I'm going to do all that I can. And I recommend that everybody else do the same.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mary, thank you.
Ashley? Can I reply to something? I forgot that Matt just said that Breonna's family got justice yesterday. And I want to just say, like, it's the thought process as that. Breonna's family got $12 million, and that is not justice. A life was lost. They will never see their daughter again, have a conversation with her, go to her wedding, hold their grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera. So for Matt to say that her family got justice is appalling. And that mindset is the mindset that we're fighting against. A life was lost. And if he values that life at $12 million and equates that to justice, then, like, he's a problem.
Yeah. Let me ask you a little bit about Mary's comment, too, actually, because Mary and Matt had different points of view. Matt's saying, you know, you still need to persuade people. You need to persuade, especially sort of maybe suburban liberals who are on the fence or maybe concerned about some of the rhetoric. Mary's basically saying she's an older white woman and she's with you and she's grateful for the work here. Do you view your role as needing to persuade anyone?
So I do, right? There's a arm that is political education where we need to educate the community on what defunding looks like, right? We need to educate the community on what reallocating resources looks like and what defunding means next to abolish. So I do feel some responsibility to educate the community. But what I don't feel responsibility to do is convince racist folks to convince them what they're not going to be convinced of. Like, I don't have the energy or the stamina to do that. That's not my job. If folks want to come, we have teach-ins every single day at our protest where we are explaining these things, but I'm not going to sit and go back and forth with people who are already racist, trying to convince them or drag them into a liberation movement that they want no parts of.
Number of listeners who have been out at the protests have been just asking, are you back to a full schedule of regular protesting tomorrow night? I mean, in other words, should they be showing up tomorrow and expect hundreds, if not more than 1,000 people in the streets tomorrow?
Yep, we're back to a full schedule program. And please follow our Free the People Rock page because we're going to be posting what the next event is daily. So we're back to a full schedule.
Okay. Robert in Fairport is next. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, earlier when you introduced your guest, she had some statements about poverty-related shoplifting. I've never heard of such a thing, to be honest with you, and I kind of found the comments to be kind of like crazy, to be honest with you. I actually have a relative that works in retail or worked in retail, and a lot of the people that are commit shoplifting are very aware that certain stores have limits and they will not pursue shoplifters unless they shoplift over a certain dollar amount of product. And I'd like to hear what this guest has to say about that.
Well, I'll let Ashley, but Robert, clearly you're smart enough to understand that when people are in desperate life situations, occasionally they may, this is an observation without either condemnation or justification. It's an observation. People may steal if they are desperate. Do you understand that?
I understand from the comments that the guest was almost giving people permission to shoplift based on their economic circumstances.
Okay, actually, yeah, go ahead.
So one, I'm not here to defend, you know, why people steal or not, or even give people permission. People are going to do what they do. But when you say that stores are not even prosecuting people or calling the police, unless it's over a certain amount, you are being extremely naive. I'm gonna assume that you didn't grow up in poverty or that you haven't stolen from a store. Earlier in the program, I talked about people getting prosecuted for stealing Lunchables, people getting prosecuted for stealing sardines. And if you go to the grocery store, you know that Lunchables and sardines are both under $5. And I don't mean just arrested. People are prosecuted for stealing those things. So this is what I mean about educating people who already have an opinion. If that's what you, if you took that I'm giving people permission to steal if they're in poverty, then shame on you. I would encourage you to educate yourself because people are literally stealing food that is under $5 and still being prosecuted.
Okay. Robert, does that help?
It helps me in that I don't get the point of view, because basically your guest is saying that people do have permission to steal based on their economic circumstance. We have more social programs to help people of limited income than you can shake a stick at. Your program covers this almost every day, one program or another that can help people out. If you want to know a reason why there's not a lot of supermarkets in the city of Rochester, it's because shoplifting behavior certainly drives the prices up. It makes a lot of these operations unprofitable, and that's why you don't have these stores in the city of Rochester. So I think that Ms. Gann is really making a really critical error here in suggesting that it's okay for people to steal based on their economic circumstance.
So again, let's not change the narrative, because I never said it was okay for people to steal based on their economic circumstances. I said that is why people steal. And if we're going to talk about why we have food deserts in our neighborhoods, again, I would encourage you to do your research. You're saying that it's not economically viable. Wegmans, Tops, all of these stores have insurance, right? And if people are coming to, if people are stealing groceries out of our community, and the response of that is not to have stores in our communities, then y'all need to do better. Like, if that is the conclusion to fight poverty, or to say we don't want people selling groceries so we're not going to have stores, it's ridiculous. And I'm not like the food desert expert. That's definitely Tanya Noel and Kristen at the Flower City Nora Collective. But I would encourage you, for me, a lot of what you're saying is very ignorant. And again, this is typical that you create your own narrative. Out of everything I said, what you heard, which I didn't even say, is that people have permission to steal based on their economic situation, which is ridiculous. I never said that. And again, this is the same thing that we talk about with the media, with the news, with the police, creating your own narratives.
Patty in Rochester, next on the phone. Go ahead, Patty.
Hey there. Hi. I'm calling just because I think the education part is the biggest, getting people to grow, people to look beyond and look at also just what's right in front of them. And as a registered nurse, our training is to put and medical, any medical, we have to go through all these clinicals and different areas, peds and elderly and mental health and oncology. And I think that element, if it were to be added into being a policeman, that they would have to shadow and part of their pre-employment or their training before they were out in the field was to be with a profession that has to be able to be in those situations every day, de-escalate, to be able to deal and not say, oh, well, gee, that patient's not compliant. We can't do that. We can't, they're not compliant. Oh, well, shut the door. And they're just a danger. You know, there's something about a person who is deemed and labeled a threat to the public or society when, and then taking the time to see really what they're being a threat to themselves and how do we help that person and how do we be part of the community that does protect others. Malik Evans, who I absolutely adore and had my kids went to city schools and worked on the Board of Ed, and I feel he speaks up and says his mind and has worked so well with contentious groups and so on. He came out first thing and said, it was a snowy night, it was cold, and you have a naked man, and not one person brought a blanket. And that was just the very lowest basic human need that, and yet you have to hold him down and you can't throw a blanket over him too. I mean, just, and I'm not saying holding him down was okay by any means, but as a registered nurse and part of this task force, wouldn't it be great also if a person who has a license and by law, by their license, has to intervene or has to come and help a person? We have to respond to someone in need on a health or even mental health. I should be able to come to that scene, see that this man is naked, see that there's a problem, and be able to offer, show my badge and be able to offer and maybe get, allow these the officers who are coming from it as, you know, control and stop and protect, maybe to open along with this training and how the nurses have to go through and doctors, maybe just open their eyes to, and it'll help them evolve and know how to respond ahead of time, because we don't get our license and we don't keep our jobs if we show up somewhere and say, oh, well, that's their fault. You know, they're not compliant. Oh, they don't. Well, they asked for it. You can't do that. And I think that somehow we have to be inclusive in our public service type positions and jobs that are out there.
Well, Patty,
what I have to say.
I appreciate it, Patty. And let me take that comment and turn to Ashley Gant and with this here. You know, Patty is talking about the quality or the lack of understanding, the lack of quality, the lack of appropriateness in the way police responded to Daniel Prude. But I do want to ask you this, actually. It's obviously complex, and I'm not at all saying that the group that you're with doesn't understand the complexity of just mental health. But Daniel Prude was in the mental health system hours before he died. And I have talked to so many people who say, yes, we need more robust mental health funding. We need to do a better job of this. But boy, even the people who end up in the system now, even the people who get in that door, often aren't getting exactly what they need. And not because people aren't trying. I'm not maligning people in the system. I'm sure it's very, very hard work. I think the caution that I'm hearing is don't just assume that if you reroute funding that it's going to make things automatically easier or better.
Right.
And I'm sure your group understands that. But let's talk about this, actually. I mean, it is complex. It's hard.
So what we're saying is, so the night that Daniel Prude was murdered, it was just a basic lack of consideration for human dignity, and not just from the officers, from the EMT, from Strong Hospital, from every entity that was involved. And what we're saying is we know that systems are in place, but those systems do not work, right? So right now we know that there's an arm of the police department that is just mental health staff, right? And their job is to go on calls with police officers when there is a mental health problem, right? And what we're saying is that doesn't work, right? We've done some research. We've talked to people who work in that department, and we know that system doesn't work. City Council just decided to give $300,000 more dollars to that same system. And what we're saying is, one, that's not even enough money. And two, let's not pour money into a system that does not work. Let's revamp the entire system. So that's what we're looking into. At Strong Hospital, Daniel Prude was released after 3 hours because they didn't deem him to be a harm to himself or others, right? And what we're saying is that's not enough time. That system as well does not work. So let's get folks together, community members, folks that's directly impacted by mental health and their families and their friends. Let's get everybody around the table and figure out a system that does work, because the current systems in place do not work. And we don't want to pour money into those. We want to revamp them, dismantle them, and start over.
Frank in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Frank. Hi, Frank. If you're on mute,
and,
there you go. Go ahead. Start over. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. I said thank you for having me on this call. But
sure.
I just wanted to say that. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. I said I want it to be known that I appreciate the effort that they're going to try to change things that are happening in our community as far as policing. But I think one of the that's not the major problem that's affecting our community. And I appreciate the energy that has been given, but towards this issue. But we just had 16 people shot the other day. We have kids that are going back to school that aren't going to have teachers, are going to be affected by, you know, not being able to be in school. Those are type of efforts that we need to focus our energy on. That's going to affect the community. I mean, have a better effect on the community than, the policing issue. I mean, I think we need to focus on us, like, energy on getting people out of poverty. But I voted for the mayor. I don't want somebody to come in here and say that I want the mayor gone. I mean, the mayor can have an opportunity to go for a re-election, but I don't want a group of people just to come in, and a lot of people don't even live in the city, coming in and say, I want the mayor gone.
All right. Go ahead, Ashley Gant.
So a couple of different things. I voted for the mayor as well. The people that's leading this work and this movement also voted for the mayor, and we want the mayor gone. So I want to say that. The other thing is, when you say that policing is not the most important thing and there are other things to work on and focus our energy on that are more important, these systems are so interconnected and one doesn't move without the other, right? So we talk about the tragedy that happened on Goodman. We talk about the fact that kids don't have access to basic education. We talk about the fact that these kids were at a house party and going to continue to be at house parties because we don't have programs in the city that can meet their needs. We don't have places in the city that they can go. When we talk about reallocating resources from the police, we're saying it to fund these things. We're not saying reallocate, defund the police and reallocate resources without talking about schools. We're not saying that without talking about programs for young people. People talk a lot about black-on-black crime, which is not a thing. It's called proximity-based crime and intercommunal-based crime, right? And those things happen for a plethora of reasons, right? And the main thing that we get from people when, you know, last weekend when this tragedy happened is like, oh, what is Black Lives Matter doing? We're working. We're asking to reallocate funds from the police to programs for our kids, to education, to healthcare. Kids are in the streets for a plethora of different reasons, and poverty being the number one. So these systems don't work outside of each other. And when you say there's more important things to work on, this is the important things. And these systems work together and are interconnected to keep the oppressed and the powerful. So you can't have one without the other. We can't talk about keeping our community safe and intercommunal crime. We can't talk about education. We can't talk about youth activities without figuring out where we're going to get that money from to fund those things. And we're saying, let's take it from the police.
All right, a couple more quick questions we'll squeeze in. By the way, this happens every time Ashley's on. There is no relation to David Gant. People, for some reason, always call and ask. I'm sure you get that all the time. That's not a commentary on the late assemblyman. It's just the fact is there's no relation. We've got just a few questions about the difference between Free the People Rock and Black Lives Matter. Is there a difference in the movements?
So there isn't a difference. Free the People Rock and Black Lives Matter, we're it's the same group and we're doing the same thing. Black Lives Matter is an umbrella, so there's a lot of organizations who work under it, but we're all doing the same work.
Okay.
There isn't a difference.
Neely says, Ashley, love you. Thank you for doing the work you're doing. White folks listening, it's our job to collect other white people and undo racism. We must collect our people. Monica says, could you ask Ashley what she needs from the community at large for tomorrow's gathering, and how can white people support Free the People from this point forward?
I think this call or this interview is number one, right? So I don't live next door to police officers. I don't live next door to district attorneys, but white folks do. So we're asking, have those hard conversations. Talk about what defunding means. Talk about what an attack on poverty and criminalizing poverty looks like. Talk about the stats that's happening in Monroe County at the district attorney's office. Who's getting arrested? Who's going to prison and for what? Like, have those conversations with your family members. Have those conversations at your table. And that'll be a big help for us. Of course, we always want people's bodies. We do this work together. This is a community effort, both white and black. So showing up is great as well.
Ashley Gant, Free the People Rock. And as she mentioned, this brief respite from taking to the streets is going to end tomorrow. They're planning to be back out tomorrow, and the demands have not changed, despite some of the admonition they've heard from other perhaps community elders. They said this is what needs to happen, and we will see going forward what comes next year. Ashley Gant, it's our first conversation since September 2nd, and I always appreciate the time. I know it's been a busy several weeks for you. Thanks for making time for the program today.
Thank you.
Ashley Gant. All right, listeners, I know a lot of phone calls, emails, questions, and not the last conversation on these subjects at all. Much more to come on that, and more connections coming up.